Jesus said something really profound that I like, that I want to point out to you about all your worries, all your frustration. It's in Matthew where he told us not to worry. Don't worry about what you eat, what you drink, what you're going to put on. And then he says something, Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, that we can't overlook. He's talking about worry, anxiety, frustration. We used the word stewing last week. When you stew something on something, you keep it bubbling, you keep it churning, you keep pondering it. What if, what if, what if? Take no thought for the morrow or tomorrow. Take no thought means don't worry. This is not an anti-planning scripture. God is into planning. This is an anti-worry chapter. Don't worry about tomorrow. 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 Now, most of the things we worry about, stew over, ponder are of tomorrow. Now, if you make you a list of all the things you could worry about, the majority of them have not happened. They're not viable in today's time frame. They're very much related to tomorrow. Have you noticed that? Now, God said, this is the word of God, is it not? Don't worry about tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So my thought, my concentration is not on tomorrow, it's on today. Do I need to know that today? Do I need to solve that today? Now, that prevents a lot of worry if we just keep our lives in the right time frame. We just know today is the day of salvation. Now is accepted time. What do we need today? What must we solve today? What must we handle today? What must we know today? I was impressed with a minister. He was going to a church that was a very difficult church. Of course, he didn't know that when he set up his agenda. They asked him to come. He said he'd come. And then people were surprised. They said, oh, you're going to preach over there? Because church had had so much trouble. Well, every now and then somebody would ask him, when is it you're going over there? Well, what are you going to do? Well, he hadn't even thought about it. And finally he said, I haven't thought about it yet. They said, man, you better get thinking about it. You get better pondering that. That's a troubled church. They've had more trouble. They've run off more pastors. But he was basing his life on this scripture. He had some other things to do, some other places to preach and teach before he got to that place. So he's not worried about that place yet because he's got to take some interim steps. He's got an interim time frame. He's got some other days to walk through before he gets to that place. Now, you know, you can, in April, May, June, July, any time during the year, you can worry about your income taxes. You can get thinking that, I hope I have enough deductions. I hope I had them take out enough money. And get frustrated about something's not going to happen for 5 or 6 months. I've known parents worried about children getting out of high school and they were just in sixth grade. It says today, what do you need today? Now look at Philippians 4. Say, we don't worry about tomorrow. We don't worry about tomorrow. We don't worry about tomorrow. The first thing I do is this necessary for today? Do I have to solve this today? Do I have to know today? If I don't, you can forget it. It's not time yet. It's not time yet. This is don't worry about anything, Philippians 4. We're not going to worry about anything. We're not going to be frustrated. We're not going to stew over it. We're not going to let it antagonize our heart. We're not going to ponder it. We're not going to focus on it. What you focus on either encourages you or discourages you. What you focus on, what you see, either causes you to be elated, to walk faster, to leap higher, or causes you to be depressed and uptight. So focus is very important. So the Bible makes it very clear that we are not to focus, we're not to worry, we're not to be frustrated about tomorrow or about anything else. Is that amazing? Now, you know, God doesn't tell you to do something you can't do. I know people who worry. You make worry, it becomes a lifestyle, it becomes a habit. We call that pessimism, optimism. You can call it anything you want to, it's still the same thing. A pessimist is one who worries, who always thinks of the worst. This could happen, that could happen. And is frustrated by it. You know your thoughts will frustrate you? You ever been frustrated by your thoughts? It's absolutely amazing. Well, when you run into a genuine optimist, if you're a pessimist, it's irritating. Have you noticed that? You think, well, they just don't see clearly. Well, they just don't understand. Well, you're not concerned. No, I'm not worried. I'm not worried. Now, Webster's Dictionary, we gave you this example, I want to give it to you again, talks about the dog chasing the rat, my house be the cat chasing the rat. He paws on it, bites it, shakes it, leaves it for dead, watches it crawl off, pounces on it again, watches it crawl off again, picks it up, shakes it, turns it around. Have you ever seen that? Or my cat chases the lizards. I feel sorry for him. First he chases them until they're almost dead. Then he snaps off their tail for whatever reason. And then they crawl off and they can recover, you know, they can grow new tails. And he watches the lizard crawl off and then he pounces again. And that's what you do with your worry. You think about it, you ponder it, you bite on it, you chew on it, you shake it a while, you put it down, you go back and pick it up, you put it down again, you pick it up. Well, what does the Bible say? It says, don't do it. Well, how am I not going to do it? That's the key. How am I not going to do this? One man told me years and years ago, he was looking for a church, a new church. He said, I'm tired of these preachers telling me what to do and what not to do. He says, I haven't ever been to a single church told me how to do or how not to do what they told me to do or not to do. He says, I'm looking for a how church. Do you know a how church? Well, this verse is very clear. We're not going to worry. We're not going to be frustrated. What are we going to do? It says we're going to pray. Now, if we instantly pray, we're worried, we're concerned, and we begin to pray, we pray a worried prayer. We pray a scared prayer, and scared prayers won't work. We pray out of our frustration. We begin to beg and to plead, oh God, oh God. We begin to tell God what we see as if he didn't see what we saw. What we thought as if our thoughts were important, which they're not. His thoughts are higher, and he gives us his word so we can embrace his thoughts. And when I embrace his thoughts, I can lay my worry aside. Now, see, he's the faithful God. The first thing I need to know that alleviates worry is his faithfulness. It says, faithful is he who calleth you. He called you. He brought you into the kingdom. And he's faithful. He's faithful to his word. He's faithful to his covenant. Now, look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25. He's the faithful God, the faithful God. The songwriter said, got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He can do what no other one can do. You know, it's because it looks impossible to us that we begin to worry. We begin to be frustrated. It's because we don't know what the solution is and we desperately need a solution that we begin to antagonize, agonize over the situation. Now, verse 25, I want you to see the word of the Lord endures forever. In other words, if I capture the word of the Lord, I've got a forever answer. The word of God doesn't dissipate. It's forever. It's for what? Forever. Now, you wouldn't know that if you listen to much religion or theology, because some sections of the word have already passed away. That's what they'll tell you. I just figured they didn't learn to read. I don't know. Twice it says, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. God's word, God's promises is forever. It worked yesterday. It works today and it'll work tomorrow. That's why I don't have to worry about tomorrow, because when I come to tomorrow, the word will still work. Is that good news or what? When I come to tomorrow, the word will still work. It'll still work. I can still claim the promise. I can still stand on the word of God and get my solution. The word of God endures forever. Endures forever. Endures forever is a long time. Means it's perpetual. It's continual. You know, we have perpetual springs. They're forever bubbling. And in a lot of states, you find perpetual springs, and they just bubble up from the aquifer, constantly bubbling. Well, the word of God is like a well of water. It's just springing up. That's in John chapter 4. It's a well of water springing up. It's perpetual. It's always bubbling. It's always leaping. It's always ready to be activated. In other words, ready to go into action, ready to be used. Now I have a choice. I can choose to think about the dilemma. I can think about the scripture and God's solution. If I think about God's solution, keep thinking about it, keep pondering it, keep meditating on it, that word will drive the worry away. You can't think about the faithfulness of God and continue to worry. You know, much religion doesn't know if God's going to help them or not. They say sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. Well, you better keep your worry then. If you can't trust God to help you, then worrying's all right. Go ahead. But when I know he's faithful, I know his word is faithful, I know his word is always springing up, his word is always full of life, his word is always ready to go to battle for me. See, the battle's the Lord's, not yours. The battle's in the word. And it says, I take the word, I have the weaponry. Now look at Ephesians chapter 6 to fight the battle with, to fight the worry with. His word is what? Forever. It springs up. It's eternal. It's life-giving. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about the battle. It says, take the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand, verse 13, the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I like that. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Where am I going to find the truth? Jesus said, thy word is truth. You know, most everything else is sort of true, almost true, potentially true, probably true, but only the word of God endures forever. It endures forever in its present form. That means it was true. It's still true. The truth is unalterable. Well, I have truth. I have truth. The Holy Ghost is called the Spirit of Truth because he comes to explain truth, to make sure that you understand the truth, that you see the truth. Now, the first thing I do is check, is this worry? Do I have to solve this today? Do you know, and statistically, most worries don't come to pass anyway. Is that amazing? Do I have to solve this today? Or what scripture can I meditate in? What can I put in my heart? What of the springing up life-giving eternal word can I put in the place of? See, there's a spot in my heart, if you want to put it that way, that keeps churning up, keeps bringing to the surface this struggle. It's kind of like a bottle washing up on the beach. If you throw it back out, guess what? Washes up again. Every time you think about it and ponder it, you throw it back into the water, it's going to wash up again. So let's throw the bottle, the worry, out of the water. And let's allow the water, see, the word is called water. Let's allow the water to work. The water of the word to work. The water of the word to work. Well, it says you've got to be armored with the truth. The truth, the truth, the truth. Well, if I don't know the truth, you know, people worry about, they worry because they don't understand the Bible. They worry because they don't think they pray enough. They worry because they don't think they've read enough. They worry because they don't think they qualify. Well, you don't. I can tell you, you're not qualified. You weren't intended to qualify. God knew you couldn't qualify. He said, not by works of righteousness, which you have done according to his mercy. You don't have to worry about the mercy of God being in place for you. It says his mercy is like his word. His mercy endures forever. It endures to all generations. So you didn't qualify. You don't have to worry about qualifying. Breastplate of righteousness. Well, who is our righteousness? Jesus himself, and he's the word. See, the answer is always in the word. It says he's our righteousness. We are the righteousness of God in him. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Well, the gospel is good news. This book is the gospel. It is the good news. So what have you got on your feet? The word. What have you got protecting your heart? This blessed plate of righteousness, the word. And taking the shield of faith. Well, where's faith? It's in the word. See, if you got the word, you got the answer. That's all I want you to see. I'm not trying to be brilliant here. I just want you to see, if you have the word, you have the answer. If you have the word, you have no reason to worry. If you put the word in, the worry has to depart. You can't hold fast to the word and hold fast to the worry. You either are worried, you are frustrated, or you know what God said. Now, I appreciate a story I read. I've done the same thing, so I understood it, where they had to work at not worrying. I mean, they had a genuine worry. And they'd wake up in the night. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And so they'd get up. and look at the scripture. They had a scripture, and they'd read that scripture. And they'd read it 4 or 5 minutes, and they'd go back to bed. They'd fall asleep. They'd sleep a while, and they'd wake up again, startled and struggling. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? See, the devil's persistent. He's there. His ambassadors of mistruth say, what are you going to do? 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 How's it going to work out? Who's going to help you? So he got up again, read his scripture. And he said he did that for 3 days. Now, one reason people fail is lack of faithfulness to the Word. That's the truth. Lack of faithfulness to the Word. And my favorite line is when I ask you, what scripture are you believing? What are you standing on? They'll mumble some scripture, some semblance of a scripture. And I say, where is that? And they'll say, I don't know. It's in here somewhere. I don't know. You know what that tells me? One of two things. You're either not very intelligent. We'll assume that's not the case. Or you really haven't taken time in the Word. Now, you know why they put these little markers in your Bible? You know, these little flags? So, if you don't remember numbers too well, some people are good with numbers, some people aren't. You take this little marker, you put it right there. So when I ask you, you can flip it over to your little marker and you can say, let me read it to you. Doesn't mean you have to memorize it. You just know where it is. Because on a daily basis, on a routine basis, you see you have potential to be worried. See, if you're worried, you're not going to get an answer. You are not going to get an answer. You are not going to get an answer. And what prevents and blocks people's faith from working is their worry. Your faith becomes locked, so to speak. What do you know about locked jaw? That's what happens to your faith. It becomes locked up. And it won't work. And if I get rid of the worry, see, it's not that I don't know Jesus is my healer. I do know that. I do know he sent his word to heal me. I do know no weapon formed against me prospers. I know those things. But if I'm thinking about mine, they want me to have surgery. And what am I ever going to do? And the latest question that rages in people's heart when you talk to them is, well, that medicine has so many side effects. Oh, my. I love medical commercials. It's as if you take this pill, it knows exactly where in your body to go. Only goes one place, the one place you want it to go. Not true. It's distributed throughout your body, most usually. And people begin to worry, well, what's it doing in there? God said, don't worry about anything. What does anything include? Your medicines, your surgery, your medical report, your x-rays, your chemotherapy, your insurance. I've seen some insurance policies that leave you worrying. You think, I hope you're not paying much for that. Because it ain't going to do much. Don't worry about what? And don't worry about tomorrow. Well, let me ask you, are they doing that surgery today? Are they doing it today? Are they doing it today? Then what'd God say? My, I just love God. I love his word. He tried so hard to tell us this is how to live. This is how you can be successful. This is what will help you. That's the rule of thumb. Do we have to have that today? Do we have to know that today? Do we have to understand that today? If it's not today, it's not on our agenda to struggle with. Isn't that good? I just looked at a lot of things and said, shh, you don't have to do that today. Now you come to a point, some things have to be done, and today's the day. You know, we got to do that, and yeah. It's now. But see, if I've made a word deposit, I'm talking about the word that endures forever. If I have my armor on, I have the truth. I have righteousness which comes from the word. He who is the word is my righteousness. I have the shield of faith. Faith comes from the word. I have the gospel on my feet. The gospel's in the word. Then I'm ready. I'm ready to solve this. I'm ready. Faith is confidence in God. Now look at 1 John 5. You know, confidence is cultivated. You don't have confidence in somebody you hardly know. If you hardly knew them, you would come to me or somebody you trusted and say, have you ever heard of so-and-so? Have they ever worked for you or worked with you? What do you know about them? You're trying to get enough evidence for confidence. Isn't that right? This is the confidence, 5:14, we have in Him. You can't have confidence in God if you don't know Him, if you don't walk with Him, if you don't walk in His Word. You don't have confidence. A lot of people have confidence in a particular minister. And where that's good for baby Christians, it's not good for mature Christians. Mature Christians begin to know their God. It says, they that know their God will be strong. Who'll be strong? They that know their God. They that know their God. So as I walk with Him, I walk in His Word. You can't walk with God without walking in His Word. And I'm so glad I don't have to read a chapter a day. I don't have to read through the whole Bible in a year. I appreciate all the plans and programs, and whatever works for you is fine with me. But if I just have a thought for the day, see, don't make this too hard. Just a thought for today. Just something I'm churning on, thinking about what God said that carries me through this day. If I'm God conscious all day long and conscious of that particular scripture, or sometimes it's a song that contains a scriptural thought. See, and as that thought begins, do you know the Word of God is like lighting a fire in your heart? Your heart gets really warm. And as your heart warms towards God, you draw nearer. You know, people light a fire and they draw nearer. And as the Word of God begins to work, that thought for today, that song that's based on the scripture begins to work in your heart, you draw nearer to Him. And the nearer you draw to Him, the nearer He draws to you, the better acquainted you become. This is, we can have confidence in Him. But you know, Hebrews 11, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And that word substance is also the word assurance or confidence. What brings me confidence is faith. Well, where is faith? It's in the Word. So where is confidence? It's in the Word. And you know, every time I trust Him and trust His Word and I see God answer, my confidence increases. And I can look back at my life. Sometimes you can get rid of worry just looking back and say, oh yeah, we did that in 52. God worked that out. Especially in finances, you can look back and see, and you've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging for bread. And you can see every step that looked like potential disaster, God solved for you. And you can look behind you and see that the Word has been working. And the Word endures forever. If it ever worked, it still works. It works. Now look at Numbers. Oh, I'm telling you, this is such good news. Good news, good news. Verse 19, chapter 23. Now the best news is right here in this first line, God's not a man. I'm telling you, you can underline that and put your colored pencils on that. God's not a man. Because men, even those who intend to tell the truth, don't always have enough understanding. Sometimes they thought they told the truth, but they didn't. God is not a man that he should lie. Now, what am I going to be armored with? The truth. Where am I going to find the truth? In the Word, in God. That's the only source of truth. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Can you imagine never having an occasion where you had to repent? That the words of your mouth and the meditations of your heart were always to perfection and you never had to repent? Whether or not your words were deliberately malicious or accidentally inaccurate. You never, never did that. I mean, never. My, I just like thinking about it. I don't like to make mistakes. You like to make a mistake? I don't like to lose. I don't like to go under. I don't like to be behind. And I'm so glad that my heart is bound to Him, that the fire in my heart is lit by the Spirit, and the Spirit always lights up the Word. The Spirit is a great light that illuminates the Word so I can see clearly. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Now that eliminates where if God said it, he's going to do it. Hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? Now look at Isaiah. If God said it, he's going to do it. Why worry? So you don't have anything to worry about unless you don't know what God said. If you don't know what God said, then you have reason for concern. And if you can't find it, you better find somebody that knows. Every now and then somebody comes by and says, give me a scripture for such and such. Well, they put out scripture books now, so just get your book. Turn over the category. A lot of children's scriptures, a lot of financial scriptures, a lot of healing and health scriptures. The only thing you've got to worry about is, do you know what God said, and can God be trusted? Is he the faithful God? Deuteronomy says he's a faithful God which keeps covenant. Same thing this verse says, keeps his word. Isaiah 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please, shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. God sent his word to be active in my life. He sent his word to solve problems. He sent his word to cause me, having done all, to stand. See, if I have the word, I can stand. That's why he sent it. He didn't send it so you could put your Bible on the coffee table. Or if you found it in the back of the car where you left it last Sunday, you're in trouble. Unless you have a car copy and a house copy, I don't know. Most people have one they read all the time. So shall my word be go forth out of my mouth. Well, what came forth out of his mouth? What did he say? What did he say? What did he say? You know, when you travel, even in English-speaking countries, they're speaking English, and even after you heard the English, you don't know what they said. Because they use their words differently than we do. And individually, taking one word at a time, I recognized every single word. But when they put all those words in the same sentence, I don't know what they said. When I was in one country, I used an expression we use here. You may not have heard it, but we used it all the time where I came from. It says, every tub sits on its own bottom. That means you have to do some things yourself. That's all that means. You have to do some things yourself. Well, I use that expression. They all stared me down like, what'd she say? So I explained it to them. I said, it simply means that you have to do some things for yourself. They said, oh, you meant to say every pot had its own lid. I said, well, okay, that's what I meant to say. Different expression. That's what they would have said to mean that same thing. English, different expression, same meaning. The words came out of my mouth, but they didn't know what I said. So it didn't help them. It didn't lighten their load. It didn't illuminate them. It didn't propel them down the road, though they heard it. So I have to have understanding. I have to have revelation. I have to have more than knowledge. I'm not accumulating facts here. I'm not a Bible historian. This has to work. I have to know what God said. How's that going to work out for me? How's it going to work? How's it going to work? How's it going to work? Well, one thing I'm not too good on in the natural, I'm not a fix-it person. I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know how to take it apart. I don't know how to put it back together. I have to trust somebody else, and that's exactly how I come to the Word. So I don't know, but I know who knows. We used to sing that song, I Don't Worry About Tomorrow. Do you know that song? Y'all don't know any good songs. I found that out already. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from the sunshine. Why worry when you can read? Just read it. God said some words went forth out of his mouth. You got to know what it said, what it meant. Well, I have good news for you. Good news, good news. The teacher lives on the inside. You don't have to find a teacher. You have one resident within you. If you're born again, Spirit of Truth lives within you. The purpose of the Spirit of Truth is to illuminate truth. Tell you that's what it means. That's what God said. Now I know if I come to God and say, God, bring me the spirit of wisdom, revelation, so I can fully acknowledge you. So the eyes of my heart, my understanding will be enlightened. I know that's exactly what he'll do for me. I don't have to wander around in the dark. So if any lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So God, I don't know, but I know you know, and I know you're fixing to tell me. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. See, and I begin to trust and depend on that precious Holy Ghost who understands, who brings understanding my way, so that when the word goes out of God's mouth, I catch it. I say, that's my scripture. That'll work for me. Then it says it has to return unto him. It said it shall not return void. Well, who's going to return the word? You are. The word that you have now that came from God's mouth, all of this came from the very mouth of God. All scripture is inspired by God. You take that scripture, you meditate it, you put it in your heart, then you return it. That's what we were doing earlier, thinking about the word that would solve our worry, that would eliminate our problem. Lots of healing word, lots of healing scripture. Just pick whatever scripture you like, whatever means the most to you, whatever you understand. And then begin to return it. Say, God, you said, no weapon formed against me would prosper. I don't believe this will prosper. God, you said, no weapon formed against me will prosper. I begin to return the word. Well, you know what happens? This is the confidence we have in him. The more word I return, the more confident I become. Is that absolutely amazing? The more word I return, the more confident I become. The more I know him, the more I draw near. And you draw near to him by his word and by his spirit. And I know God does not lie. And he always keeps his word. Now this verse says, the word shall accomplish what he pleases. It'll prosper unto the thing where he sent it. Now you wouldn't send a package and you didn't care if it got there or not, would you? When you send something, you intend for it to arrive, do you not?
Yes.
You intend for it to get the destination.
Yes.
You have several choices these days, and you pick out the choice you think will be at your economic level or will be within your time frame to get the thing that you're mailing to its destination or the package delivered. And God said he sent his word, but he just didn't send it so that we could say, oh yeah, I've read that. I heard that. I have a copy of that. You know, I have a lot of books I haven't read. Some of them I even intended to read. When I bought them, I fully intend to read them. But I don't know. I didn't ever read them. And I do feel better. I don't know about you, but if I buy a book, even if I don't read it, I feel better that I've got a copy. Don't you? I think, you know, should I ever want to read it? I don't have to go look for it. I have a copy. But you know, that won't work with the Word of Living God. He sent his Word to your house. He sent it. He sent it. He sent it. He said, now give it back to me. Return it to me. That means you open it, you read it, you meditate, you think, isn't this wonderful? He's a faithful God. Isn't this wonderful? The word of the Lord endures forever. And look at 1 Kings 8:56. My, it's forever. It's forever. The promises are forever. Healing's forever. Prosperity's forever. Salvation, deliverance, freedom, anointing. It's forever. It's forever. It's forever. Love is forever. Peace is forever. It's in the Word. He's our peace. How long? Forever. Forever. I like this verse down the middle. It says, there's not failed one word. Not failed one word. The Word of God doesn't even fail by one word. Such a comfort. See, what have you got to worry about? You know, I camp in the same spot a lot, but I wouldn't camp on worry 3 weeks. Absolutely felt impelled. If you give up your worries this week, we won't have to do this next week. I mean, you just surrender. 1 Kings 8:56. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise. What kind of promise? God's promises are good. It's a good promise. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, whom is no variableness, no variableness, no variableness, no variableness. That's the same thing as God's word's eternal. It's perpetual. It's full of life. It springs up. It's always working. Now, if I say we'll do that tomorrow, you promise the child something and you'll say we'll do that tomorrow. And tomorrow comes and you're too busy. I hope you're wise enough, because your word is very, very important to say we'll do that soon. I loved a repairman. He used to come to my house. He's since gone to be with the Lord. He'd say, I'll be there between 10 and 10:15. He always gave himself 15 minutes because he wanted to keep his word. And oh, I appreciated that. I so appreciate it. You could just know. He may be there 1 minute after 10 or 10:14, but in that 15-minute time span, he's going to be there. He said, I'll be there. Well, it says God doesn't fail by one word. If I say we'll do that tomorrow and tomorrow comes and I'm tired or I'm busy or whatever. And I said, we'll do that Monday. Well, the only word I changed the word tomorrow to Monday. I didn't change but one word. I failed by one word. I failed by one word. Just by one word. But you know, failure by one word is still failure. I did not keep my word. I gave a promise. I didn't keep my promise. That's why I always say we'll do that soon. If I say we're going to do it today, we're going to do it today. Says God doesn't even fail by one word. Can you imagine a great, big, wonderful God? Great, big, wonderful God. I mean, he said exactly what he meant. He meant exactly what he said. If he can get somebody to hold fast to that word, to quit worrying, quit being frustrated, hold fast to that word, not stew over things, not fret over things, not ponder. See, worry, you ponder the disaster. You think a lot about the dilemma, about the potential harm and damage that could come, mm-hmm. about the delays and the pain. Well, you can just as easily think about the faithfulness of God. Think about the word of God that doesn't even fail by one word. Now, religion has God's word failing by entire chapters and segments. It's not even one. We're not talking about one word. They cut out entire thoughts and chapters. One section of scripture that we love, that we lean on a lot, if you study religious theology, they'll say, well, that was added later. It's from later translations. It's not a part of the original copy, and they don't put any weight on it. And if you read that section of scripture to them, they won't receive it. They say, no. So you cut that out, and that entire section, five or six very important verses, has failed, according to them. Failed. And God said, he said, if you return my word to me, it will prosper just like I sent it. He sent it to prosper. He sent it to work. And he said, if you'll return it, well, it's with my confession that I return the word. Now, you know, John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. When you train your children, you give them words that you want to abide with them forever. And some words that you really should not have said, that you didn't want to abide forever. Abide forever. You notice that? If anybody ever gets bored, both of my children will say the same thing. They have this word in them. I told them this all the time. I've heard it even this last year. They'll say, well, read a book, do a game, play a puzzle. They have that word abiding in them. They'll say, read a book, play a game, do a puzzle. That was my solution for everything when they were growing up. Well, go read a book, play a game, do a puzzle. We didn't have a TV. Well, that word abides in them. It just abides in them. Ashley will say, I don't have anything to do. She's our 7-year-old granddaughter. And her mother will say, well, Ashley, read a book, play a game, do a puzzle. God said, if you'll let my word abide in you. He gave his word. He said, I sent it to you. I sent it. I sent it to accomplish. I sent it to do. I sent it to endure forever. I sent it to not fail. If you'll put it in you, if you'll let it abide on the inside, then it'll work mightily. Now, that'll still work today. Read a book, play a game, do a puzzle. It'll still work. It's still a good idea. Why worry? When you can pray. My, when I go to God and I say, God, you said. See, that's what prayer is, simply returning God's word to him. Whether you pray or you simply make your confession of faith, prayer is returning God's word to him. So you said in your word that by Jesus' stripes I was healed. You said no weapon formed against me would prosper. You said, see, prayer is going to God with a request, asking. Now, asking is not commanding, it's not demanding, it's not thanking, it's not believing. Asking is asking. Now, asking is surrounded by this wonderful conglomerate of friends. Asking has at its right hand thanksgiving, at its left hand faith in God. And they are bound together. But when I ask, I make a request, and my request is based on the Word of God, and any request based on the Word of God will not fail. It will prosper. Now, what happens is it doesn't prosper today a lot of times. We don't see immediate change, and so we turn loose of the Word. You know, the other day, Ashley said to me, she's just in first grade. She was at the house, and we were playing games. I'm a great game player. She said, Mima, let's play World War I. I said, what do you know about World War I? I'm surprised she'd even heard of that. She said, well, we fought it and the bad guys lost. I said, okay, you do know. You know, a lot of times our reading, our meditation is really guided by the fact that we have read all we want to read. We have read all we're interested in. I said, well, tell me about World War II. She said, I don't know that one yet. But see, she's growing in knowledge. Well, every time I read, every time I meditate, I'm growing in knowledge. I know Him better. I want to be a reflection of His image. I'm in a musical mood lately. A replica of God's beloved Son. You can't be a replica if you don't know what He looks like. If you want to be a replica in the natural, you'd have to know how tall are they. People want to be a replica of Elvis Presley. Spend time gathering data and evidence. They want to know what he said, when he said it, how he said it, what he looked like, what he wore. Which foot did he have forward? Where was his hand? If you go to the wax museums, some of them are phenomenal in that the replica of the historical figures, the people that we knew, like Dwight Eisenhower or John F. Kennedy, you look at them, you just almost would want to go, have you ever been there? It's fascinating. You'd almost want to go and shake their hand and say, how are you, Mr. Kennedy? Because they have, with intricate detail, sculpted and clothed to make as near a duplicate as possible. Well, whose image are you made in? This is a trap, I'll just tell you. Who are you to duplicate? Mama said it wouldn't work. Well, my doctor said. Well, you won't be a duplicate of the doctor. And your mama may be a wonderful person, but you want to duplicate her? You want to be exactly like mama? It's not likely. Who are you to duplicate? See, people come to church and they don't come back because we have hypocrites here. Have failed to realize who they're to duplicate. I said, so don't be like any of these hypocrites. I mean, that's it. I said, so don't follow any of these hypocrites. So you come show us Jesus, we'll follow you. I just believe in speaking truth and love. Only to be what He wants me to be. Well, He wants you to be free. He wants you to be unworried. He wants you to be unfrustrated. He said, if you would take my word and return my word to me, knowing that my word will never fail you, that not one single word I've ever spoken, now look at Romans 4, will fail. It will accomplish. It will come to pass. Abraham had a promise from God, a promise of a son to dream the impossible dream. It's impossible. Verse 18, who against hope believed in hope? There wasn't any natural hope. It wasn't possible that this could come to pass, yet God had spoken. See, it doesn't matter that it looks like to you that it couldn't possibly work out. Your situation couldn't be any worse than Abraham's. He's 100 years old. His wife's 90. And yet it said he believed. He became the father of many nations according to that which was what? See, he knew what God had said. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. This was the word that came to Abraham from the mouth of God. So shall thy seed be. God spoke. Now there was every reason to doubt, to waver, to turn loose. But see, God speaks truth. Isn't the truth? Isn't this word truth? God always speaks truth. And God said, so shall thy seed be. And God said, not one word I've spoken will ever fail. That's what God said. Now, if Abraham had looked at the circumstances, verse 20 says he staggered not. But he could have staggered. He could have wavered. You know, once you have spoken, you look only at the word of God. Only what God has said. What causes you to stagger? Well, if Abraham got out his driver's license, he'd have fallen off of his chair. You know, he'd have said, shh, this will never happen. Father a child, I probably won't even get to keep my driver's license. I'm so old. He considered not his own body, verse 19. In other words, he didn't observe his body. Don't look at what causes you to worry and be frustrated. He said he observed not. When you observe something, you watch it. You look at it. My mother loves birds. She has a bird feeder. She can tell you on any given day who was there, who chased who off, what color they were, what kind they were. She observes that. Now, it's what I observe with my natural eyes that causes me to worry and be frustrated, isn't it? If I observe the pain, think, shoo, my knee is killing me, then I'm worried. You know, and the devil isn't going to say, you know, you've just strained your knee, you've been walking too much. He's going to say, that is arthritis. It is crippling arthritis. Because the devil wants you, you know what works for God will work for the devil. He wants you to return his word. He wants you to say, this is crippling arthritis. You return God's word, you get God's result. You return the devil's word, you get the devil's results. Don't return his word. Don't say what he's saying. Say, thus saith the Lord. Don't say what the devil's saying. Now let's finish Mark 11, 23, maybe. Are y'all going to worry next week? You're going to quit. I do know a couple other things, but don't feel led to talk about them. This is commanding a mountain. Whosoever shall say to the mountain. Well, now you got a choice here. Speak to the mountain what the devil's saying. Speak to the mountain what God has said. You have a choice. Now, we spend a lot of time speaking the word of the devil, speaking the dilemma, the fear, do we not? To the mountain. We say, whoo, look at that. That is the biggest mountain I've ever seen in my entire life. It is right in our path. What are we ever going to do? It's getting dark, too. You know, we can't even get over that mountain in the dark. And look how many of us there are. Oh, this is going to affect so many people. So will your faith. Don't talk about the dilemma. Don't return the devil's word. He looked at that mountain. He said exactly what he meant. I love the translator. It says, move! Very simple, isn't it? Move! Shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. Now you just can't say any old thing. You're speaking the word. You're speaking the word. Speak the word to the mountain. Speak the word of God. Speak the word of the truth. Speak from the Spirit of truth who dwells within you. Return that to God. Find out what God said about your dilemma, and then look at your dilemma and say, move. In Jesus' name. I said something one day and somebody said, I can't remember what I said, but it startled them, and they said, how do you know that's going to happen? You know, their eyes are this big. I said, I just said so. They looked at me like, what'd you say? I said it would happen. I think I left them with their mouth hanging open. God said that I could say what He said, and it would come to pass. Jesus wanted that fig tree out of the way. It wasn't bearing fruit. He said, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And it dried up from the roots. I can say, or I can pray. Praying is saying. I can pray the word. I can say the word. The word, remember, not one word fails. Not one word fails. Now, I'm not interested in moving a tree, cursing a tree, moving a mountain. But I'm interested in some other things. What does God say about those? Firstly, Becky, do you know what God said? Do you know what God said? Are you saying what God said? Are you praying what God said? So you can pray it or say it. It'll work either way. If you want to speak to the mountain, you have heaven's permission right here. If you want to pray to God about your mountain, either way, speak to God about the mountain or just go right to the mountain. But be sure the words of your mouth are God's words. Now, you can't have forked tongue, you know, the old saying about forked tongue. Here I am praying away. Thank God, no weapon formed against me prospers. No weapon formed against me. I am so glad. Thank you, Father, no weapon prospers. I am so grateful. I've asked for my help, and I know you've sent it in Jesus' name. Somebody said, how are you doing? I have been in more pain. You would not believe the pain I've been in. What are you going to do? Oh, I don't know. We can't ever figure it out. We just wander round and round. Wayne has an idea. I have an idea. I don't think his idea worked. We just are so totally confused. And I say, I thank you, God. I have the mind of the Lord. In prayer, I say, I have the mind of the Lord. I have the mind of the Lord. That's what the scripture says. Since you lack wisdom, you ask. I said, I'm so glad I asked for wisdom. I'm so glad I don't lack wisdom. Well, what are y'all going to do? We are so confused here. We don't have the foggiest idea what we're going to do. That's what we do. We speak one thing to heaven. We speak one word in prayer. And contradict that as people inquire. Sometimes they may have to inquire. We just say, did I tell you what happened to me? You know, we volunteer to speak the words of the devil. We don't even wait her to say, you know, you don't look well. Are you all right? You say, how do I look? Do I look funny? Because I don't think I feel too good. Feel me, see if I feel all right, you know. Isn't that what we do? I have a hot flash from the Lord. You can't have citizenship in two countries. Your citizenship is in God or it's in hell. Oh, I have a friend, oh, such a friend. He loved me before he saw me. And he said, no weapon formed against you, Becky, will prosper. By Jesus' stripes, you're healed. I sent my word and I've healed you. No weapon formed against you will stand. Stand against the word of the devil, stand with the word of the Lord. Stand in righteousness. Jesus brought it to you. Stand with that shield of faith. The word will do it for you. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Say, well, people won't understand your comment. They'll understand your victory, though. They'll be interested. They'll come running. How'd you do that? More than once, I've had people say, how did you do that? Years ago, our children were in a school. They were going to change school districts. They were redividing the school districts, and we were going to end up in another district. And whereas that would work for some people, it wasn't going to work for us, and I knew that. I knew it would breed great insecurity. We'd had some insecurity. We had solved that in large extent, and I felt like to make a move now would cause an old problem to come back. I didn't want that. So I went before the school board, asked for an exception. Well, they had a lot of people with that same problem who had trouble with the redivision of the school district, so they formed a committee, and so they said I'd be the first one. I'd hear from the committee, they'd make me an appointment, and I could make my petition. But in the meantime, God spoke. And he spoke to Wayne. I'm so glad. See, a lot of women think God can't speak to your husband. I know that. I mean, I know that. I'm not even guessing. Just think nobody hears from God like I do. He can't hear from God. Isn't that what you're thinking? Shame on you. Wayne said, you know, the Lord has spoken to me. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That means we weren't going to have to do anything else. That's what that meant. I knew what it meant. Now, I didn't get that word myself. He got it. But we twain are one, and we claimed that word. We stood together. We came to agreement. Stand still. I said, we're going to stand still. We're not going to do anything else. And God's going to deliver us. Well, it wasn't 2, 3, 4 days. They called, said that you won't need to come before the committee. We have the gist of your request, and we're granting it. That was all there was to it. But see, God had specified that scripture to our need. He had given that specific word to our need. And we had begun to say, to return his word to him, we're going to stand still here and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, as far as we know, we're going to have to go before the committee. We'll have to explain our child's insecurities. You know, this is not anything we wanted to do. But we felt like if we don't do this, they're going to make some changes and we're going to have some trouble. I know it. We're going to have trouble here. We can't do this. But God spoke, see. God spoke. So we just kept saying, I'm going to stand still. So on a Wednesday night, our neighbor took children to church because we had to go to the school board thing. And he said, what'd they say? He brought the children back, fine Christian man. And I said, the Lord has said, we will see the salvation of the Lord. He said, good, good, good. See, if at any time I give voice to where we're going for the committee, you never know what committees will do. They have to be in agreement. Mm-hmm. I can speak my doubt. I can magnify the dilemma. I can focus on the disaster. I can speak the words of hell. You know, if it's a word of failure, it's a word of hell. If it's a word of loss, it's a word of hell. And I like what one minister said. It always a comfort to me. He says, what if I speak the word of the Lord and I still lose? He said, when you get to heaven, God will say, I never heard anybody speak as much word as you did or try as hard as you did. Well done. And then he'll tell you where you missed it. I like that. I just flat, you want to get to heaven, God say, you didn't try one even minute. You didn't, your confession didn't last 24 hours. Never seen such a puny. Half done, thou good and faithful servant. Half done. Now I want him to say, you didn't make it, but I never seen anybody try as hard as you did. That's the least you can do. That's the bottom rung of the ladder. At least you can give this a try. Of course, trying won't make it work. But you got to start somewhere. Do it, do it, do it, do it. What does God say about your frustration? Now speak the word of the Lord from your heart. Please, from your heart. It's not good enough to memorize the scripture. It's not good enough to know where it is. It's not good enough to quote it routinely. I can do that. I know a lot of scripture. I can just quote a scripture. Anybody can just quote a scripture. Anybody can just read a scripture. Anybody can locate a scripture. Meditate in it until it becomes a part of your inward man. Until, like my children's word, well, read a book, play a game, do a puzzle. It becomes part of you. You just got a word. It's just a part of you. See, ponder it and say it until it becomes big on the inside. And then when it becomes big, I mean it's big, then say it. Then say it, see? Well, you think about you, what you've been saying. The word of the Lord or the word of hell? What's your scripture? Can you find it? You know, you may not can depend upon a relative or a friend, but you can depend upon the book. You can depend upon the book. You can depend upon the word. You can depend upon the spirit that brings that word. But do you know the word? Do you know it? I mean, in your heart, do you know it? On the inside, do you know it?